this morning, seeing that it is a long weekend, Pastor. It's a long weekend. Oh, we can be here all weekend and no work tomorrow, huh? Yeah, we can spend the night here praying and prophesying over you. It's fantastic. Problem is, I've got to get to Malacca, so didn't realize it was a holiday. The road will be like a car park, and it will be difficult. So let's talk to you about this wonderful topic. I want to talk in this morning's meeting about the ability as a church to have what we call personal renewal. And not just have personal renewal, but to carry that. Too often in the church life, we say, oh God, come and do another revival. Come and do another miracle. Come and do something supernatural. Come and do something great. When that renewal process is not outward, it's not outward, it's not external, it's actually internal. What God wants to do is a renewal in all of our lives so that we carry something, okay? And when we carry something, what ends up happening is that generates momentum, and that momentum begins to start to open up doors that are closed on our behalf. And the Lord said that He wanted His church to have favor in every season, to be favorable. In fact, what He did is He gave the Holy Spirit to the church. This is what we call the dispensation of the Holy Spirit working with the church to complete the kingdom's outcomes, okay? Jesus said these words. He said these words, if I do not go, He cannot come. And the he talked about was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is something that we need to have a relationship with. He's not an it. He's not a flying vehicle over there. He's not a feeling. He's not a sense. He's a person. And we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit just as we have with Jesus and the Father God, okay? The Bible talks about God being triune, three in one, okay? And that three in one personality in this dispensation is a relationship deeply and inwardly with the Holy Spirit. You know, the battle not just to maintain our spiritual renewal, but be revived on a continual basis is a process of what I call spiritual development in the inner man. The Bible says that the outward man is decaying. We're getting rusty, okay? I used to have nice hair like yours. It was pretty good, but it's disappeared somehow overnight. I woke up and it was gone, and my color had all gone. It was like I've gone snowy white. And my wife fell more in love as I was getting more grayer. I said, oh, this is pretty good. This is all right. So allow this to happen. But this external life is passing away, but inwardly there's a renewal going on in our members inwardly. The Holy Spirit working inwardly to call you to be more newer as the day goes by. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Right? So there's a renewing going on that we don't see. And we've got to relate with God. The only way of relating with God is to start to lose our logic. What? Become silly? No. But losing logic to become mature. Okay, losing what we call just our sense level and embracing what we call our spiritual level, the spiritual dimension of the call of God upon our lives. The massive importance in investing in what we call a regular personal meeting with God is all important in staying in what I call in touch with God, or in tune with God, or in tune with the Spirit, which leads us to fulfilling what we call the will of God in our lifetime over our lifespan, okay? I was talking to Pastor Stefan earlier in the foyer, and he said to me, he came here from Germany 19 years ago. I said he would remember that 19 years of just swept past him. But it's important to understand that the journey of God is not just measured in years. It's not measured in months and seasons and days. It's measured over your whole lifespan. And for us to be what God intended us to be, we can't just say, oh, when I get to 68 or 70, or I'm not sure what it is here in Malaysia, but when I get to a certain age, I'm going to retire. I'm going to get a hammock and a caravan and live on the beach. Oh, fantastic. When God called you, He wanted you to live the whole lifespan. Not thinking of retirement, not thinking of falling, you know, of drifting off into the night. No, He talked about being renewed daily in the inner man, being renewed regularly on a regular basis all the time. Romans 8 and 27 says, now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right? So there is a will of God that all mankind need to align with. Okay? And to align with the will of God, that means there needs to be processes of obedience. There needs to be processes of sacrifice. There needs to be processes in all the way of being what God calls us to be. There needs to be a process of me constantly aligning my life with the will of God over it. See, renewal is an ongoing ability to keep fresh in faith and opening to what we call a greater revelation and understanding of God's priorities over all of my activities. Okay, there was a season of my activities where I was in the worship team. Okay, I was the drummer of the band. I was the drummer in the church for 7 years. Listen, I was a drummer in the church for 7 years. And while I was the drummer in the church, I ascended to the youth pastoral ministry. I became the youth leader in the church. And the day that I became the youth leader in the church, and the church was growing really well, the youth ministries is over 170 people. We had revival. There was just people. We had an old picture theater. It was massive. We had people just coming down. We had Pastor Clark Taylor in our assembly prophesying over everything and slapping hands and just, you know, decreeing and declaring stuff over people's lives. And I remember this day that we had this preacher from the United States. His name was Ray Bloomfield. And Ray Bloomfield was a great man of God. He had a ministry, and we called him Blow Me Down. Because what he would do is he would just blow on people and the whole congregation would just fall on the floor. And he was in our church and he was preaching, and he got up to the microphone to stand to preach, and I got off the drums. The drums was in the corner here, like that. And I started walking over to go down the stairs down there when he turned to me and said, please don't sit in a chair. Could you come and sit down here on the stairs like this? And he was down on the floor down there preaching, and he got me to sit down on the platform just like I am right now. And my wife was sitting there, beautiful young wife sitting there. We had one child on the way, and she was looking at me and like I was kicking the thing and, you know, like this, watching this great man of God just hammering into the church, just preaching to the church, and I'm going like this, and I'm starting to see all these faces, right? And going like this and kicking hands, and my wife is sitting on the front row and she's looking at me. And I didn't know what to do. I was just totally uncomfortable, right out of my comfort zone in the church, just sitting on the side of the church. And Pastor Ray, about 15 minutes into the message, Pastor Ray points to me and said these words, do you see your future, son? I said, what's going on here? I'm sitting on the platform. He said, do you see your future, son? I said, what do you mean? And he said, come here. I went there. I got next to him. And as I got next to him, bang, I just fell down on the floor. And then I just hear these words. I'm on the floor, prostrate on the floor. I just hear these words. I'm going to send you across the I'm going to send you across the seas. You're going to preach for me in different locations. You're going to be prophesying over a world of people you don't know. See, did you see the vision over your life? And I'm on the ground, under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd never, of course, preached in the church. It was 5 weeks later I was on the roster and I was told to preach. It was my first sermon in front of, 300 people to preach. I'd never done that before. I didn't know what sermon outlines were. I had no idea to preach. I was so shaking, I didn't know what to do. I got up and the whole microphone was shaking, the whole body was shaking. I preached for 15 minutes, Pastor, 15 minutes, and gave an altar call. We stayed till 3:30 in the afternoon. 3:30 in the afternoon, there was a TV camera crew there from C3 in Australia. They were all on the altar call, all down on their back, flat out. I was prophesying over everything that moved all over the place. It just was a revival until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then, of course, I fell down because I was too tired and I was under the power too. And my wife said, we had to drag you out and put you in the car and take you home to sleep. It was amazing stuff. And that was my introduction to being a preacher. And so in every season of our lives, God aligns us with the call of God upon your life. Now, he might be aligning you to be a support ministry. He may be aligning you to be on the board. He may be aligning you to be in the youth ministry. He may be aligning you to be in the music team. He may be aligning you to do something for him, but you won't get that alignment unless you continue to keep the renewal process going. Until you stay hungry for God, and until you keep a desire to be what God intends for you to be, not what you assume that you are and what you assume that you're going to be. It's really vitally important. Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says, I dwell in the high place, the holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. And what God was saying here in the spirit was it was the meaning of remorse at the condition and the nature of human hearts. How disobedient we are to God. How unresponsive we are to hear the voice of God and then respond to it. How we grow so tired and so away from God is because we grow away from not just hearing the word of God, but being obedient to God's word. God was showing us again his nature, which is humble and contrite. He was so remorseful at the fall of mankind that he began to weep himself. Some of the most difficult words of the scriptures in the Bible was in the book of Genesis when God came to visit Adam in the garden and said these words, Adam, where are you? And he said it again, Adam, where are you? And then Adam came out from under a tree or a rock or wherever he was and said, we hid from you because we were naked. And then God said, did you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And he said to these words to God, it wasn't me, it was my wife. It was the woman that you gave me. She's the problem. And so he blame shift immediately upon external issues instead of taking control over his own responsible decision-making process. And for to be what God calls us to be, we need to be responsible. We need to grow in responsibility for our own journey, for our own life, not just leaving it to the pastor, not just leaving it to the church, but being responsible ourselves to be what God intends for us to be, okay? And if we do that, God will lead us, he will instruct us, he will move us, he will shake things that need to be shaken, he will put you into places that only he can do and place you at a place where you can be premium in the right place at the right time, being a tremendous blessing for God. Jeremiah 17 verse 10, it says, the Lord searched the heart, I test the mind, even to give even every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing. And so what the Bible is specifically trying to say, renewal has a lot to do with what you allow into your mind, into your inner man. And externally, it's difficult to break through to be what God called you to be if we allow circumstances, situations to overrun us, to impact our lives, the pressures of business,
the pressures of earning finance, the pressures of our kids eating, the pressures of all of these things in society, if they come upon us and overburden us, then we're not free in our mind, not free in our spirit to be what God intends us to be. There are some processes of staying fresh in church life. There's processes, so if you're a leader in the church, if you're on the team here at Grace, or you're a part of the ushering team, or you're somewhere connected in function in the life of the church, I want you to be really conscious of what I'm about to say. This first thing is that we need to always be conscious of God's abiding presence. God's abiding presence is always there. He never leaves you and he never forsakes you. He's always around you. He's always there. He never lets go of you, okay? He never leaves you. And remember, it's our actions and our attitudes that distance him from us. He is always there, always ready. But what ends up happening is we start to drift. We start to fall away. We start to just get greasy grace. We start to get slack in everything that we're called to do. And so what ends up happening is we start to drift away from God. And we say, oh, well, that's okay. But then we don't maintain a desire for God. It just becomes a religious connection, a ritual. Oh, well, I do church, I do my tithes, I serve at the back of the church, but there's nothing really happening in me in the depth of my spirit. There's nothing really going on in the deep reservoir of my life. And it's because we become ritual. And the church dies from rituality. The devil doesn't have to do anything to the church. He just has to leave them, let them go, let them drift away, just keep them busy, just keep them occupied in their minds about away from God, and they begin to start to drift away from God automatically. The devil doesn't turn up with, you know, pitchfork and big ears and point things at you and all that type of thing. He just lets you be lethargic. Okay. Lazier. Lethargic spiritually. Lazy spiritually.
I do these, I've been doing a topic in your nation on hearing the voice of God, and it astounds me, and it astounds me in Australia too. It's all over the church, all over the place, this invasion in our minds of apathy. Of just, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be all right, and we have no real get up and go. We have no flavor, no fire, no desire within us. And so we're starting to melt down instead of firing up. And the melting down process is just gradual. We don't see it happening. It just gradually begins to start to happen in our spirit. And we need to return to God. If we're going to be fresh in God, we need to return to the Lord. Okay? He never leaves you and never forsakes you. Zephaniah chapter 3, 17 says, "The Lord your God in the midst of you is a mighty one. He will save, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quieten you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." That's the God we've got. He's joyful. When you come into his presence, he's not down there browbeating you, banging you over the head with guilt and condemnation. He's not doing that. He's saying, "Great, I'm glad you're here. Let's have a party. Let's have a joyful meeting together. Let's enjoy this process." And that's what it says, one of the clear signs of freshness is the sheer joy of gladness. The sheer joy of gladness in God. I love the worship today. This young man here led us in worship. You could sense the joy and the gladness of wanting to be with God. Just wanting to come into the presence of God. And that should be spontaneous. It should be, of course, a thing that we do on a regular basis, but it can be very spontaneous. And come on, Malaysia, you have times to be spontaneous, especially in Kuala Lumpur at 6:30 at night on the road. You can have an enjoyable experience if you just say, "God, come and fill my car with gladness, with appreciation," instead of this jam, "can't get the Bible study on time." You know, it's an inbuilt. necessity to be glad, to be full of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on. It's an overflowing of God's abiding presence within us. He's always at work. He's always doing something to keep me favorable in his life. Come on. Knowing that it so springs forth this sheer joy. So the first place is be aware that God's there, and he's not. God's not a downer. God's not down on you all the time. He's not a headmaster hitting you with a stick. He's a father who embraces you. He loves you. He wants you. Come on, I'm the one of the great downterrents of being an itinerant is that you've got to travel. You don't know where you're going to be. You don't know how God's going to open doors. You don't know where your next income's coming from. You just don't know, okay? You can't plan for these things. It's got to be what God calls you to. And the biggest downside as I grow more in itinerant ministry over my age is the lost time I'm having with my grandkids. I've got five of them. I see Pastor David here and his wonderful wife and their daughters and their son-in-laws, all these kids around them, their grandkids, right? As soon as I say that, I say, oh no, I want to go home. Straight away. I just want to, and my kids don't come into the, my grandkids don't come into the house thinking, oh, Poppy's going to blah, blah, blah. They just come and want to sit on Poppy's knee. You know, I got a message yesterday, we miss you, Poppy. I said, oh, don't say you miss me. That means another 4 hours of being lonely and wanting to go home instead of being focused on what God's called me to do, okay? That's what God's like. When we come into the presence of God, he's not browbeating us over everything. He just wants you to sit on his knee, wants to talk to you, wants to converse with you, wants to love up on you. I think that's the type of abiding presence that we've got to understand. That, and sometimes we leave God, we draw away from God because of guilt and because of things that are built up in our lives. We've got to dispel them. We've got to cast them out. So what God can do is have this unique, wonderful time where he starts to grow the joy, the sheer capacity to love and have fun and enjoy the journey with God. It's amazing. It really is. It's a joyful experience. The second thing is that I believe that, you know, to keep your heart pure, we need to guard our hearts. The Bible says we need to guard against the attitudes to become these things: jealous, come on, stubborn, bitter, critical, negative, and offended. I am tired of going to the church and finding leaders have walked out and other pastors, people have gone all over they're all over the place and they're all fighting each other. The church is tearing itself down among the members, which should be all in love with each other. We've got differences of opinion, differences of this, differences of that. We're negative about this, negative about that, stubborn about everything. We're jealous. All of these things are not what God intended for our lives. They're not. Keep your heart pure. Because if out of it, out here, out of this thing, grow the issues of life. They determine your status. They determine your character. They determine all these other areas of life. And I tell you something, if we linger long in these areas, the devil uses such things to keep us broken, to keep us suppressed, to keep us confused. And the results are we become what they call flatlined. Now, I want to talk to you about flatline Christianity. Flatline means we just go through the motions. As soon as you start to get closer to God, the devil gets upset and he starts to make a plan to keep you away from God. He starts putting up parameters to make you tired, make you, you know, a bit grumpy. And I know, Pastor, we're getting older. The kid, you have five storms in the house, right? And you got five storms, five grandkids in the house. We've got 50,000 toys in a box, 50,000 of them in a box at home. The kids come into the house, right? One of the kids get a toy and they grab it and they run to the side. And there's 50,000 other toys in the box, but guess what? The whole five of them want the one toy. For some reason, that toy is more valuable than the other 50,000 in the box.
and they're in the corner, the whole lot of them, having a spray, throwing the toy at the wall. One's trying to grab it, the other one's trying to pull his hair out to get the toy. They're fussing and fighting over one particular toy when there's a whole toy box full of stuff. They're only focused on the one thing. Sometimes in the life of the church, it's like that. There's so many gifts, so many things that God wants to do with you individually and corporately together as a church. So wants to bring out stuff in your life so you can bless and abound in the work of the church and be a blessing to God. He has a gift for you, yet we all look at the one gift. Maybe the pastor's preaching, or the way the wonderful pastor's wife looks on, you know, beautifully arrayed on Sunday, or the pastor's son-in-law, how handsome he looks and running the youth ministries, or his daughters or his kids, or, you know, and how focus is on their toys instead of the other toys that are in the place. And it's important that we start to engage in on the call of God upon our own lives, that we've got our own issues going. The word flatline is quite simply this, and I brought my little prop today. My prop is what they call in Malaysia you've got this thing called a spiritizer, and it's called a sparkling water, right? Me and my wife, we have this for dinner at home since we gave up the 4X many years ago. We now have the sparkling water, righto? And this sparkling water is quite good. It kind of sparkles up our dinner, righto? It enhances what we're eating. Now, when I take the lid off this, if I was to take the lid off this bottle here, what you would hear when I took the lid off, if I could put it in the microphone, what you would hear is you would hear a quick thing like this, like that, as the lid comes off. And the sparkle starts to free out of the bottle, okay? But what happens as soon as the lid comes off the bottle, the pressure in the bottle is released. And when the pressure in the bottle is released, contaminants begin to start to get into the top of the lid of the bottle. And if I leave the lid off the bottle for 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, all the sparkle that was in the bottle has disappeared, it's gone. Oh, the water's still there, but the water now has become very ordinary. It's because we were never meant just to live with just the water. It's the sparkle of the Holy Spirit in the internals of my life that make everything just joyous, that just make everything that highlight things, that make it a little bit more sensitive and aware and give it that kind of potency of delivery, of enjoyment that comes from that. But we as Christians at times in our Christian faith, what ends up happening is begin to lose our sparkle. Our sparkle begins to start to simmer down. It starts to lose its value. Starts to lose its place. I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me 2 years ago in the middle of COVID, said to me, "This is the greatest chance of your life to come back to me. You travel all over the place, preaching here, doing that all. I want you to stop and take a sabbatical and begin to start to wait upon me." So I'd go down to our church. There was no one in the building, church nearly the size of this, and just wait upon the Lord at the front of the altar. Hour after hour. The first thing I learned pretty quickly was, you know that phone you've got there? It can be the devil's tool or it can be God's. So the first thing I did is leave my phone up in the office. Locked the office door, threw the phone in the cupboard, went down into the church. Did you get bored after 5 minutes? A little bit? God didn't show up after 5 minutes. He didn't show up after 10. I had to wait upon him. I had to stay in there. I had to wait upon him. But I realized after 10 weeks, after 15 weeks, I realized that my gathering, when I came to meet with God, was as electric as it was when I was a younger boy in God. I'd come back to my first love. I'd come back to where I began to start with the call of God upon my life.
And that what that did is that started to groom the area of hunger. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your hearts, because out of it flow the issues of life. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your heart determines your health of your soul. It keeps the filters of your mindset so you can carry renewal through storms, come on, through trials, through challenges, and you can come out at a victorious level every time. Come on, wasn't COVID a challenge? It was a challenge. So the way that the pastor kept the money in his pocket is go online, click, generate income into your account through being online, blah, 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 blah. We're starving here. We look for ways around to try our circumstance, the situation, to get out of it. Instead of actually accepting it and saying, this is a time period where I'm just going to draw close to you. And no other motive, no other reason, no other motive behind it. And pastor would know all the pressures of the church. He's your shepherd. So he cares for all of the problems that you're going through. He understands what you're doing, and he carries the burden of all of that on his life as well. He has to relinquish all that when he comes before God and saying, God, I'm not here for the motive to fix up Sister Johnson's, chronic liver problem. I'm not here to fix up my daughter's, complaint with her husband over the kids. I'm not here for, my working life. I'm not here for any of that, oh God. Not one motive in me. He is here for that. The only motive that I'm here for, God, is I want to be with you. I want to be, God, in your presence. I want to be with you, Lord. And when that begins to start to happen, you walk out of that place with an assurance that all those things that you went in with all your mind soaking on that stuff, God's got an answer for it. He's going to break through. He's going to do miracles. He's going to do outstanding things that we've never even realized and understood before. He's going to do all those things. And the final thing is, we need to respond to God and be open. We need to respond to God and be open. Keeping fresh requires openness, a seeker's heart, an inquisitive, adventurous spirit. It's upon that nature that God begins to start to linger long. He begins to start to stay within your confines. He begins to stay with you. He delights to be with his people. You never enter in by gazing out. You enter in by stop the gazing and allow God to freshen you up and do great things upon your life. You need to leave the pressures down. You need to relinquish them. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's the prayer of the church in this season? What's the prayer of the church in this season? What is it, oh God? Simply this. Psalm 85, verse 6. I open my Bible in the middle of the church floor and begin to start to speak this out in the atmosphere. Not a person there, just the atmosphere. I begin to start to pray this out. Will you not revive us again? Oh God, will you not revive us again, Lord? Will you not do it again? Will you not do a great move of God upon our lives again? That your people, the people that you love, the people that you desire, the people you have a heart for, would return to you again with rejoicing. Not walking to church grumpy. Not coming to church because it's a routine. Not coming to church because it's our religious duty to come to church. But coming to church full of joy. Coming to church expectant. Coming to church to see the powerful, wonderful God do amazing things in our lives to change the world and the atmosphere around us. Does Malaysia need God? Yes, he does. Oh, he needs the church too. But we need God, and the Bible says when we overflow with God, when we overflow with gladness and joy, the people return to God with rejoicing. They return to God with gladness. That's the key to the church. Oh, come on, church. We can do the five principles of the book of theologians. We can do the Acts of the Apostles. We can do everything like that. But what God's looking for is a people overflowing with joy and revival and the purpose and the plan
and the wonderful renewal of the Holy Spirit in us, bringing testimonies again of the great power and great grace and great opportunity that God has done in our lives. Speaking again of the great things that God's done in our lives, healing our sisters, changing the world in which we live. Come on, we catch what God is trying to do. Then the sky is the limit. We catch what God is trying to do, the sky is the limit, and His overflow comes in power, demonstration. He manifests Himself over our limitations. He heals our bodies. He changes our family circumstances. He does revival in our income. He does the things that He said He could do, not the things that I wish Him to do or think He can do. He does them. He abides over us. And then we're caught up into what we call His glory. Come on, church. It's one of the goals of the church to manifest the glory of God, the powerful God, the Holy Spirit working within the members of His church to perform the wonders of His grace and power in our lives. When's the last time your neighbor got a miracle because you're a Christian who lived next door to him? Come on, when is the last time God done something great when you ran into someone in the marketplace and you knew it was an appointment with God right there? The church that will experience a breakout of the Holy Spirit's timely outpouring of His Spirit is a church that's going to be hungry, a hungry church that meets with desire is only described as what I call a moving over people whom are open, whom are responsive, who are abiding in the presence of God for the kingdom of God, not in eating, it's not in drinking, but it's in righteousness, it's in peace, and in the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's the church God's looking for. I am tired as a pastor, and you would know this, Pastor David. I'm tired as a pastor. To get the church here, we have to put food on. We've got to give them free drinks. We've got to put free coffee on in the hallway. We've got to put McCann on for everyone to come to on Sunday. Oh, man alive. Why can't they just come with gifts? Why can't they just come overflowing already from what God's been doing in their house and doing in their home, doing in their personal lives? They just come and they bring these gifts. They just bring what they're called to do in God and they just overflow. Overflows out and that church is a nourishing place. The results are joyful people, a glad people, a blessed community. And God raises them up. And you may be sitting down there thinking, oh, well, Pastor, that's one of your signature sermons. No, it's not. That's something that's coming fresh out of my heart right now. I know itinerants, they got, 10 great sermons and they go around and preach them, but I got sermons that are coming out of my heart that are present. And the reason why is because God's present. It's enabled. He's able to do it. Can we have the wonderful musical, beautiful worship team join us here. Why don't we do something? Why don't we stand up?